Hey, record fans, this is Vinyl Connection. Andy Munch here, coming at you with another vinyl record review. Trying to bang some of these out after a little bit of a hiatus. So hopefully you enjoy these. If you do, try to comment. Again, I'm open to suggestions. If I've got the record, I'll review it. If you want to send me a copy, I'll happily do that as well. So today I'm going to review another recent release, probably divisive as always. Metal fans are the best in the world, and we can be the worst in the world as far as supporting each other. We can be pretty nasty about the stuff we don't like. Today I am going to review, you know, one of my favorite bands. Not going to apologize. I like everything they've released. It's obviously some better than others. Slipknot, The End So Far, or like my copy and many of the other copies that escaped into the general population, mine is called The End For Now. So they made a last minute change, I guess. Even the label says The End For Now. Who knows? Maybe it'll be worth something someday. But I think quite a few of those made it into the wild. I don't think it's extremely rare or anything like that, but it's still kind of cool. I half kicked around getting the other version just to have them both, but Christ, hard to plunk down near $30 on a second copy of something when you can go buy something else. Anyway, you know the drill if you've listened to these. I have a pretty much a list of things that I go down through, checklist and cover. So we're going to go through 57 minutes and 32 seconds is the runtime. My cost, you know, I didn't go back, but I'm pretty sure it was like $26.99. So $27. I did the pre-order from Amazon on this one. I got the auto rip on this one. There was no digital download card with this one, but again, nice having the auto rip. It's just one of the perks of Amazon. So again, call me the sellout. I know I say it every time, but I don't feel bad about it. This is a really sweet, I love the clear vinyl. And this is a clear, you know, I usually bring these upstairs with me to when I'm in my little office for work, and I don't have it with me, which is too bad. I think it's a standard weight. I don't think they're 180 gram, but I could be wrong on that. But if you go to Amazon or whatever, they usually tell you in the description. So I did miss out on that. I could have, if I had the record in front of me, I could have pulled one out and kind of been able to tell. So at any rate, you get two records with this. They run at 45 speed, which gets me every stinking time. It gets me when I put the thing on, and then it gets me on the next record when it starts going really slow. But, so you get two records, so that is good for a 57-minute album. One disc would not be good. Spindle hole was nice and smooth. I did not have to bore it out on either of the records. Fit on the spindle fine. Edges are nice and smooth, not jagged. I usually get my good test on that when I clean the records with my sort of generic version of the spin clean. I've got the Studebaker. We'll throw a shout out, even though I'm not getting sponsored. The Studebaker cleaning system, which is basically a spin clean. I'm sorry, folks. I can't see the difference between the, I think, $30 I paid for the Studebaker versus $80 for a spin clean. I can't. It's the same concept. So anyway, and you spin your record through that thing, and if you've got jagged edges on a record, you will be able to, your fingers will tell you, taking a beating, cleaning records with jagged edges, I'll tell you. So this is a gatefold, which to me is a prerequisite. If you are a double album and there is not a gatefold, that is minus points right off the bat, and there are some I have that do that terrible no-no of not having a gatefold, so both your records are shoved into the same pocket, and I just think that's terrible for a double. If I ever review one, maybe I already have, but if I ever review one that's a double that does not have a gatefold, you will hear me complain big time on that. No excuse for it. As far as inserts go, there weren't any. The record sleeves were kind of the insert. They're sort of the heavy duty cardboard paper sleeves that have the lyrics and stuff on it. So that's sort of the insert. So I swap out and use the rice paper inner sleeves and then keep the keep those sleeves that came with it since the lyrics are on it, and I keep that in with the gatefold. So no other really bells and whistles, but cool band picture on the gatefold. So that's good. Happy with that. You know, it's cool when you get little inserts and booklets and things like that. You don't get a whole lot of that these days. Not warped, but again, as I like to mention with the warping, this was a brand new release, so really not surprised. It hasn't been sitting around in any warehouse stacked on top of each other for 2 years waiting for me to buy it. Discs were clean. They were not dirt, dust, paper shavings, all the crap. I sometimes get them and they're a whole, pardon my French, fucking mess. And it's hell to clean them. So nice and clean there. Off to the sound quality. Again, running the Fluence RT85 with the Ortofon 2M Red through the Klipps RPM 51 powered speakers, 10-inch Fluence or Klipps subwoofer. That's the setup. For reference, I think it's a good sounding record. I think that's a nice full sound. Bass is good. I think it's a good sounding record. I don't think anybody's really using analog these days, unfortunately. I think it's all pretty much digital file, but you can have some pretty high quality digital files used, and that can make a difference. If that's wrong, somebody can correct me. I would love it. I know some records advertise, you know, that they're made from the original analog tapes, but I think they're taking a digital from that. Now, I could be wrong. If anybody's still doing that old school at their record pressing plants where they are actually using the analog tape to transfer the record, that would be awesome. I'm not sure that's happening. But anyway, really good sounding record. It's a really good record. I will say the first track sort of an intro thing, and then it cuts into this song called Adderall, and it is fucking terrible. It is probably the worst Slipknot song ever. It's just not good. And I'm fine with people trying to do different, and I like Corey Taylor can sing a song without screaming. That's good. I'm not one of the people that have a problem with that. But that song, in fact, when that song came on, and honestly, there was some whisperings or rumblings when this album came out that Jim Root and the clown, Sean Crane, I think is his name, weren't overly happy with the outcome of the album. The album was sort of made strange because of the it was still being made during when all the COVID shit was going on, and so the way they did it wasn't as organic and as face-to-face as normal. And they seemed to have some trepidations about it. So when that song Adderall came on, and my friend Brian Stanko said his first pass at it wasn't overly thrilled, and that song comes on, and I thought, oh, boy. Is this going to be a big disappointment? And that song was really terrible. Bad. I usually get up and do something when that song comes on. Actually, if I want to listen to that record and I'm giving the kids a bath, I just take that opportunity to be checking on them to make sure they're all right, because I don't care if I hear that song. However, after Adderall, the whole album kicks into high gear as far as I'm concerned. I don't think after that song there's a bad song on it. It is, a lot of complaints out there of it being sort of experimental and different, and I don't know. I don't think it strays too far off the path. It's Slipknot to me. There's the faction of folks that do not want Corey Taylor singing clean lyrics on a Slipknot album. They'll just automatically call it a Stone Sour record. And I don't see that. I think he's got one of the best voices in rock, and that includes the clean vocals. It's a good mix to me of the heavy and the screaming and the singing, and I think just the songs are good. To me, the songs have great hooks, they're catchy, there's heavy parts, fast, there's slower stuff. So for me, I think it's a great mix. Now, I'm a 46-year-old father of two. I've been listening to Slipknot since the self-titled came out in 99. I'm an older dude, so maybe for me, I'm liking the mix of the more melodic with the clean vocals. But again, it's easy to, I don't like to spend a lot of time on content because anybody can pretty much go check out content these days. Whether you have a streaming service and you go listen to an album, or whether you go to iTunes and listen to the minute 20 clips you can listen to on every song, you can find out if you're gonna like a album or if it's the songs are sound good to you or not. So my two cents on the content, though, is I think it's a really good record. I like it a lot. I don't know where I could rank it. It's hard when it's something that's new, but I really do like it. It certainly, if I don't think it's my least favorite Slipknot album. I sit here and say it's the best Slipknot album ever, but I think it's up there at least. I don't think I like it. I think I like it better than We Are Not Your Kind, which I really liked. The last album, I think I may like it more than a couple of those. It'd be interesting to do a Slipknot ranking. We have a metal podcast too. It's called Metal for Dummies. You can check it out. It's my friend Brian and I and another friend of ours, Scott Stewart. We do heavy metal topics, so that could be one that we revisit. We've probably done that before, but now that a few more records have come out, I'd be interested to see. After you listen to a new album, you kind of have to let it settle a little bit and then revisit and see where you really think it would fit. But it's good, is my point. I think if you like Slipknot, you're gonna like it. Now, if you are sitting around waiting for them to make Iowa again, you're not gonna like it. If you loved Volume 3, I think there's a good chance you'll like this. It's kind of in that vein, I think, just of a good mix of melodic and heavy. So that's my two cents on it. I'm a fan of it. At $26 for a double these days, that's pretty good. It's hard to top that these days for a double. So I would suggest it. I think the clear vinyl's awesome, and I think it sounds good. Some of these newer rock pressings, and that's where I get nervous, that some of these that come out that are $40, $50, and they're ones I really would be interested in, but you think you buy it, and what if it's a little compressed or flat? And it happens. But I don't think that's the case with this. I think you're getting your money's worth with the $26. I think you'll get a good sounding, heavy sounding album, and definitely don't be afraid about that. Again, not an audiophile, but I think you'd be pleased that it's a good sounding record. So that is my review on Slipknot. The end so far, or depending on your copy, this the end for now. Again, I'd suggest it. Definitely thumbs up. I think quality control really good on this. Checked all those boxes that you needed it to. So yeah, pretty happy. Not a ton of bells and whistles, but you get the colored vinyl and a cool gatefold with the band on it, and you get your lyrics on the inserts they sent you. So spin them if you got them. I'm Munch. Until next time, I'm out.